Welcome to Season 2 of the Unscripted Medicine Podcast, a podcast about living and learning at the UC College of Medicine.
On the show, we discuss everything from board exam prep, how to excel in your clinical clerkships, and also how to do the little things required to thrive in medical school.
Check out the show notes or our website for more information, helpful links, resources, and more.
Please connect with us via email or on Twitter. We would love to hear from you. Without further ado, we hope you enjoy today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Unscripted Medicine Podcast. Today, we are continuing our virtual shadowing series with an episode on pathology with Dr. Steve Gilday. Dr. Gilday is a fourth-year resident at UC Medical Center's Department of Pathology. He earned a BS in biomedical engineering at the University of Virginia in 2007 and graduated from our very own UC College of Medicine in 2017 with an MD-PhD. He's here today to talk about his path to pathology, his current and future practice, the broad scope of the pathology specialty, and practical tips for someone who may be interested in the pathology specialty. Dr. Gilday, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Excellent. So besides that probably rudimentary introduction I had for you, do you have anything else to add about your education or training or even future plans?
I think that was a great introduction. As you mentioned, I started out as an undergraduate in biomedical engineering, which was kind of my first exposure to medicine and science. And as soon as I graduated, I knew that I wanted to pursue some career in the medical field. I was unsure if I wanted to go into clinical medicine or whether I wanted to pursue research and get a PhD. So I actually, instead of going straight to medical or graduate school, I took two gap years after I graduated from undergraduate college, and I worked in a research lab actually here in Cincinnati at the University of Cincinnati, studying the cardiovascular development and the fluid mechanics of the cardiovascular system using zebrafish as an animal model.
Oh, wow.
So that was an interesting 2 years. And during that time, I was also doing some clinical shadowing, trying to decide whether I wanted to pursue research or clinical medicine. And it turned out that I really couldn't decide one way or the other. So I ended up doing both by enrolling in the combined MD-PhD program here at the University of Cincinnati. And that allowed me to get my degree in medicine, but also to earn a PhD and gain research experience in a research lab. So that was really a perfect fit for me and allowed me to kind of pursue both of my passions. And so after that, I decided that I wanted to pursue pathology. Pathology is a great field for many reasons, but one of the best is that it allows you to balance clinical medicine and research very well, probably better than really any other area of medicine. So that's one of the main reasons why I chose pathology.
That's very interesting. I never really thought about pathology being a research-heavy specialty. Is that true for all pathologists?
Not necessarily, but in pathology, you know, you're kind of based in a hospital laboratory setting where there's lots of clinical testing going on. If you're in anatomic pathology, you're getting lots of anatomic specimens in the laboratory, so you have access to lots of human tissues. So it's a very good environment for research. And then one of the best things is you don't have the demands of seeing patients. In pathology, you know, we don't directly take care of patients. We don't see patients. We kind of work behind the scenes. And so you do miss out on that direct patient care and that kind of patient relationship and some of the gratitude that you get from patients as being their, you know, physician that they go to when they have a problem. But at the same time, as far as scheduling goes, it actually frees up a lot of time. You don't have patients calling you. You don't have to deal with all the administrative insurance and other charting kind of things that you would do in other typical areas of medicine. So it's actually, in terms of scheduling, it's a much easier specialty to actually do a meaningful amount of research while also completing your clinical work.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And in fact, later in this interview, I want to ask you more about the day-to-day of a pathologist. But first, I would like to know a little bit more about your path, how you got to where you're at today, and kind of the decisions that helped form that even beyond research. So I understand that when you were in a medical school, you did your MD, PhD. So you had some research experience even before going to medical school, and then you got a little bit more during medical school. And the end of that, you ultimately ended up where you're at today in pathology. So can you speak to that from medical school on kind of why you decided to pursue the pathology as your profession and where that's led you to today?
Sure. So I didn't always know I wanted to be a pathologist. And I think there's kind of two types of medical students. There's those that come in having no idea what specialty they want to do, kind of open to seeing what everything is like, what they like the best, and choosing based on their experiences in medical school. And at the other end of the spectrum, there's those people that come in knowing exactly what type of specialist they want to be, and they're going to do everything in their power to make it happen. I was somewhere in the middle. I thought I might like the procedural specialties like surgery, because I knew I liked working with my hands. I had an engineering background. Mm-hmm. I liked anatomy a lot. I was very visual, so I thought maybe a surgical specialty would be a good fit. And I really liked science. I mean, I had done biomedical engineering as an undergraduate. I had taken a lot of courses in anatomy and physiology. And then during my PhD work, I learned a lot about, you know, how the body works mechanistically on a cellular and molecular level. And that was always one of the things that really interested me, kind of the science behind medicine. And I think for some people, you know, when they get to medical school, they have to get through, at least when I was in medical school, our curriculum wasn't as integrated as it is now. Basically, our M1 year was focused on just basic sciences. We took a physiology course, a biochemistry course, gross anatomy, and we kind of learned the normal function of the human body at the cellular, molecular, organ, and organ system level. And then in the second year, we moved on to pathology, pharmacology, and kind of what could go wrong. And actually, my favorite parts of all of medical school were those first and second years, like the basic sciences. Once I got to the third and fourth years, it was good to put some of that into practical use. But I actually, you know, while many people were so eager to go get onto the floors and into the OR and to see the patients and interact with the patients, I actually missed learning about the science behind these diseases, or looking at gross anatomy or histology images of different tumors and things like that. So I realized during my medical school training that, you know, I think it was really the science of medicine that was really captivated my interest more than the personal side of medicine, more than talking to patients or forming that interpersonal relationship. And I think there's a misconception about pathology, and that is that people who are very socially awkward or who have a terrible time communicating with patients tend to gravitate towards pathology. And in some cases, that is true. But, you know, you find socially awkward people in every medical specialty, not just pathology. And I actually thought I had no trouble communicating with patients or other clinicians. I didn't always want to be by myself in a dark room or, you know, in an isolated room without talking to anyone. I just liked the scientific aspects of medicine, and that's what really attracted me to pathology. That's what pathology is all about. So there's really a lot of science. You really have to be strong in your basic science background to be a good pathologist. And of course, you have to have communication skills. You might not be communicating with patients, but you have to communicate with colleagues, especially other physicians. So that's a critical part of it as well. But that's what really drew me towards pathology. I did the 2-week pathology elective that was offered at the University of Cincinnati when I was a student there. Got a little bit of exposure to both anatomic and clinical pathology. Got to meet some of the faculty and residents in the department, and that really solidified my interest. I was still very conflicted. I thought I might go into surgery. I actually did a lot of surgery electives during my fourth year of medical school, but I just decided that pathology was for me, both because I think that's what I was really interested in, because I thought I could balance my career, my research and clinical career best, and also for work-life balance reasons. My wife and I had our first child a couple weeks before the match. So she was pregnant during my whole fourth year of medical school. So I knew I'd be going into a residency with basically an infant. Residency is difficult enough without any kids, but to balance being a dad and a husband with being a resident can be challenging, especially if you're in a very demanding specialty.
Like surgery.
Yeah, surgery would be a good example. Being a surgical intern is very, very draining. It's very time consuming, and it can be very stressful. not to say that pathology is easy, but it's a more regimented 8 to 5, 8 to 6 kind of schedule. We don't do a whole lot of work on the weekends. We don't work nights. So for work-life balance, it's a much better, well-balanced specialty that allows you to have a good life outside of medicine as well.
Yeah, very, very good. And as a former pathology elective attendee, I can also attest to Dr. Gilday's claims that pathologists are not simply these strange people sitting in dark labs looking at microscopes all day. They're actually quite friendly people, and it is an interesting academic pursuit that they are a part of every day, and you would be surprised at how well-versed they are in just normal communication. But you did mention your interest in surgery, Dr. Gilday, and I think this is an interesting thing because I've actually heard this from multiple pathologists now. It seems that there's a trend of students who, or even residents who have an interest in pursuing surgery, actually changing to pathology. Can you talk about that a little bit with specifically your situation? And you kind of hinted at it.
Yeah, I just think there's a lot of misconceptions about pathology, largely because most medical students get exposed to pathology through their didactic coursework, where, you know, they're reading a textbook like Robbins and Cottrin, Pathologic Basis of Disease, or they're getting lectures from pathologists or other clinicians about, you know, fundamentals of disease. That's all well and good, and I found that very interesting in med school, but that really has, you don't really get any insight into what a pathologist actually does on a daily basis. The only way to really find out what pathologists do is to do an elective, and unfortunately, the majority of medical students go through their entire medical career without ever setting foot in the pathology department or doing any type of elective work in anatomic or clinical pathology. So to many people, pathology is a black box. And so I think some of the misconceptions about pathology are because people just don't have much exposure to it. You know, even a first year medical student can give you a pretty good explanation of what, like, a general medical doctor that works in primary care, either family medicine, internal medicine, kind of what they have to do during a day. You know, they have to see patients in clinic or see patients in the hospital. They have to do physical exams, take histories, write notes, write prescriptions. But, you know, pathology, again, is people don't really know what pathologists spend their time doing. So I think there's a misconception about what pathology really is. There's a misconception that pathology, because it's one of the least competitive specialties to match into, and it's filled with a lot of international medical graduates, there's a misconception amongst a lot of medical students that pathology is where you end up if you can't cut it in a more competitive specialty. I think, you know, those are all misconceptions stemming from people's lack of knowledge about what pathologists do on a daily basis. And in my experience, pathology is filled with lots of normal, socially competent people that are great communicators. It's full of a lot of people with a lot of very charismatic personalities. Not everyone is an introvert in pathology. It's filled with a lot of very, very smart people. And if I recall, when I graduated from medical school back in 2017, actually the valedictorian from our graduating class, which wasn't me, it was another young lady, very smart, very bright, actually went into pathology as well. So you get a lot of very smart people in this field. And there's lots of different things you can do in pathology. People think of pathology and they think of autopsies, or, you know, they think of CSI on TV, people, you know, digging up bones and cutting up dead bodies. That is just one very, very small part of pathology called forensic pathology. And, you know, our residency is 4 years. And out of those 48 months of residency, I spent 1 month doing forensic pathology. So about, you know, 2% of my time that I was doing those forensic types of autopsy cases. So pathology is extremely broad. It includes autopsies. It includes surgical pathology, where you're looking at slides under a microscope. It includes all of the clinical pathology specialties like medical microbiology, clinical chemistry, blood banking and transfusion medicine, molecular pathology, coagulation. So all these types of laboratories that exist in hospitals are all overseen by pathologists. And as part of your pathology residency, you get training in all those areas. You can go on to do fellowships in those areas. You can go on to become a medical director of a laboratory, or, you know, a technical director of the microbiology lab in a hospital, or the coagulation lab, or et cetera. So I think that just the number of the breadth of things you can pursue, the breadth of subspecialties that exist in pathology is most people don't realize how broad of a specialty it really is.
So now we have pathology. We have good hours, it seems, and we'll talk more about the day-to-day here in a moment. We have friendly people who can communicate, people of all academic backgrounds, and people who have different research interests from very high to very low. And we have a broad specialty that allows you to do a variety of things on any day with a good work-life balance. So, Dr. Gilday, if you could, let's talk a little bit about maybe not a day in the life of a pathologist because it can be so broad, but let's talk about a week or even a month in the life of a pathologist. So this coming month, for instance, like what would you expect to be doing in clinic?
Yeah, so I'm still a resident, so my schedule will differ slightly, but not a whole lot from the attending pathologists that I work with. So one of the nice things about pathology is that we don't have patients to see every day. So you can kind of structure your schedule however you want it. Your hours can be whatever you want them to be. It's basically like as long as you get your work done for the day, whether you do that work from 4 a.m. to noon or whether you come in at noon and stay till 8 p.m., it doesn't really matter as long as you're getting your work done. That's a lot different than other medical specialties, which are kind of on shifts or, you know, you're covering a 24-hour call or something like that. My typical day, we, as a resident, we have a morning didactic conference every day, which starts our day. It goes from 8 o'clock to 9. And then after that, the rest of my day would be spent doing the daily work on whatever rotation I'm on. So if that's a surgical pathology rotation, which is what we spend a lot of our time doing, that would mean that I will get the microscopic slides, the histology slides for that day's cases. So in the pathology lab, we have specimens coming down all the time. So surgeons are working in the operating room to remove tumors or other specimens from patients. We have endoscopists in the endoscopy suites doing colonoscopies and other procedures where they're maybe taking biopsies or removing colon polyps or other things. So all these procedures that generate specimens, the specimens will come down to our lab and be processed. And the end result of those specimens is we get histology slides to look at, and that's how we make our diagnoses. So each day on surgical pathology, we'll have a number of cases from the day that we have to go through. The case volume can vary depending on what subspecialty rotation you're on. So, for example, if you're doing gastrointestinal pathology, you might have 20 or 30 cases in a day to look at. A lot of them might just be stomach biopsies or colon polyps or other small specimens like that. But basically, my job would be to look at those slides under the microscope and then render a diagnosis. I dictate a report. And then because I'm a resident, I will go and review the cases with the attending pathologist and we'll kind of discuss them and we'll sign them out is how we say it. It's kind of the equivalent of rounding in clinical medicine, right? You go see your patients early in the morning, you kind of formulate your assessment and plan, maybe do any physical exam you need, and then the whole team will round together and kind of discuss kind of the final diagnosis or the final plan, if you will, for each patient. We basically do something similar, except, you know, instead of seeing the patients, we're looking at their slides under the microscope. Then we get together with the attending and kind of we render the final diagnosis. And if we have to do any additional workup, we might have to order some immunohistochemical stains. We might have to show the case to another pathologist to get a second opinion, whatever we need to do. But then ultimately, we will sign out that case. And when we sign out the case, basically, that's our final diagnosis. And then our pathology report will become available in Epic for the clinical team to view. It can be intimidating to when you're first learning how to sign out pathology cases, because pathology is kind of the end all be all gold standard.
Yes. You make the definitive diagnosis.
Exactly. You know, the clinicians can think they know what's going on with the patient. It's hard to argue with the pathologist when they very definitively see some type of disease process on the slide. And even if it's not what the clinical team thought, usually the pathology kind of rules. So there's pressure in that. You know, you don't want to be wrong. You don't want to miss anything. And that's what a lot of pathology residency is about, is just practicing looking at slides, at least if you're going to become a surgical pathologist. It can be overwhelming because as a pathologist, you can come across basically any disease in the human body. can present on a pathology slide. So you have to be familiar with not just tumors and cancers, but you have to be familiar with infectious diseases, fungal diseases. You have to be familiar with inflammatory disorders, autoimmune disease. So really everything that you've learned about in medical school, you will come across at some point in pathology, which I think is awesome, actually, because as opposed to going into some very specific subspecialty, for example, if you want to become a orthopedic joint surgeon, you know, you're going to spend your whole career doing joint replacement surgery, basically, maybe only doing a couple different surgical procedures over and over again, and you'll get very good at them. But in doing so, you'll kind of forget everything else you've learned in the course of your medical career. And that's kind of, medicine is going the way of subspecialization. Everyone's becoming very, very subspecialized. One of the things I like about pathology is you do have to maintain a broad knowledge base because you never know what's going to come across your desk on those microscope slides, and you have to be ready for it. And pathologists are the ones that diagnose the zebras, so to speak. You know, when you're rounding on your patients, you always think about the common disorders, and it's like, oh, well, maybe at low down on the differential diagnosis, we'll have this really rare condition, but, you know, it's so rare, it's probably not really affecting this patient. But, you know, as a pathologist, you're the gold standard. So if what you see on the slide fits with one of those rare disorders, one of those zebras, you have to be ready to call it. And even if the clinical team says, what, are you sure? It can't be, you know, that's so rare. You have to be confident and say, yep. You know, this might be the first case I've ever seen, but I've read about it in the books. I'm well-trained, and this is what it is, I'm sure. You can really make a huge difference in patient care that way, because you can diagnose diseases or diagnose conditions, or you can see things on the slides that the clinicians are unaware of, despite, you know, all the clinical testing and clinical examination they do. Sometimes you need a pathologist to really get to the final diagnosis. A lot of time on surgical pathology is spent looking at slides. And so I think that's a deterrent to many people, because they don't want to sit at a microscope and look through a microscope for a good portion of their day, maybe 6 hours a day. So that is something that takes getting used to. But the thing is, if microscopes are not your thing, there's other areas of pathology where you will never use a microscope. For example, forensic pathology. There you'll be standing doing autopsies most of the day and writing autopsy reports, maybe even going to crime scenes. If you work in the clinical pathology side, maybe in, for example, as a blood bank or transfusion medicine specialist, you'll be dealing with, you know, blood products and blood collection and blood transfusions and things of that nature, which is completely different. One of the things that's unique about pathology residency is we have to rotate in all these different areas. So what you do on a daily basis actually is very different depending on what rotation you're on. Some rotations are long hours, some are shorter hours, some you're spending a lot of time looking at a microscope. In other rotations, you might be wearing scrubs and doing frozen sections up in the OR. And then on some rotations, you're wearing a shirt and tie and a white coat, and you might even have a little bit of patient contact. For example, if you're doing cytology and you're in a clinic that does fine needle aspirations of like thyroid nodules or something, you might actually have to interact with the patients a little bit. So it's very diverse.
Yeah, and I remember having a similar experience. Even in the 2 weeks I was on the pathology elective, spending a good amount of time looking at microscope slides with physicians such as yourself, but also being down actually near the operating room in the frozen lab where surgeons would send in live specimens that they just got from a patient, send it to the lab to get assessed really quick to see, is this tumor, is this not tumor, what exactly is this tissue that we're looking at, and getting results within the hour. It was a very quick-paced scenario in some cases, and then other cases just very relaxed. Hey, let's take some hours. Let's look at these microscope slides. And it is really kind of a choose your own adventure in a lot of ways.
But yeah, I will say that, you know, one of the things that's nicest about pathology is we have a schedule that's unlike any other area of medicine. You know, unlike we do take call, but it's all from home. At least in our residency, we never have to take overnight call in the hospital, which is very different than other specialties. The pathology lab is kind of open banker's hours. You know, the lab opens at like 7 or 8 and kind of closes for the day at 6 and everyone goes home. So, you know, there is always pathologists on call for stat specimens or urgent matters, but there's most things in pathology can at least wait until the next day. We don't work weekends. And so it's much more manageable, especially if you have a family or other commitments outside of medicine. And, you know, one of the biggest causes of burnout in medical providers, especially residents, is just the grueling hours and, you know, your schedule having to work nights and then go back onto days, having to work the 24 or 28 hour shifts in a row. It can just be very exhausting. In pathology, we don't really have that. The hours are more like a typical 9-to-5 job, so to speak. Not that it's easy. People always say, oh, pathology is so easy. It's not easy, but it's more manageable from a scheduling perspective.
Sure. Is it always a 9-to-5 or an 8-to-5?
Not always. I mean, it depends on what residency program you're training in and, you know, what type of job you get as an attending. We here at UC are fortunate. We have pathology assistants in our department that help with some of the routine work during the day. At other residency programs that don't have pathology assistants, that work falls on the residents, and that can be cause for longer hours. For example, if they're just processing all the routine specimens, all the gallbladders and appendices and little biopsy specimens every day, there's really not much educational value in processing those, you know, doing what we call grossing, which is receiving the specimen, describing it grossly, and then submitting it for processing to make a histology slide. Someone has to do that work, but there's really not a whole lot of educational value in that. So luckily here we have ancillary staff that do a lot of that work. Other residencies are not as lucky, and the pathology residents are forced to do that, and that can cause much longer hours. Here at UC, you know, we're a mid-sized academic medical center, so we have a high volume of specimens, but we certainly are not as large as other medical centers. So some medical centers have a much larger specimen volume. The fact of the matter is that each resident has more work to do, basically, in that scenario. So that was one of the reasons I chose UC as a residency. I think it's got a good educational program here. I know that I'll be very well trained as a pathologist and be competent. But at the same time, I think the residency is such that, you know, you're not pushing up on your 80 hours a week limit every week. You have time to pursue things like research or other extracurricular activities. So I think it's a well-balanced program in that regard. I'm glad that I've had enough time to watch my kids grow up, spend time with my wife, while also learning pathology. So I think that's something, you know, it's hard to be a resident, and sometimes you just feel like you're so busy you have to postpone your life outside of medicine until you're done residency. But, you know, especially in longer residencies, that can be hard to do. You know, you can't just focus, go all in on residency and forget about, you know, your life outside of medicine. So I think I'm really a big proponent of work-life balance, and that means something different to everyone, and everyone has a different way of achieving that. But I think that having a schedule that allows you to pursue some of your hobbies and to have time with your family, have some days off, that really helps not only with your, you know, your mental state as a resident and your, you know, avoiding burnout, but I think it makes you happier, and your job is more rewarding when you're happy.
So my understanding, Dr. Gilday, is that the pathology residency is a 4-year program typically, and I believe that you are in your 4th year now. So do you have any post-residency plans for fellowship?
I do. Yeah, you're right. So our program is a 4-year residency. It's a categorical residency, so we don't do any type of intern year. You match right into pathology. Most pathology residents do 4 years of residency because they do both anatomic pathology and clinical pathology. And then we take a board exam to get certified in each. So we take 2 different boards, the anatomic pathology boards and the clinical pathology boards. At some residencies, there is the option to do either anatomic pathology only or clinical pathology only, and that would typically be just 3 years. But all our residents here at UC, we do both AP and CP, so which is a 4-year program. And then the vast majority of graduating pathology residents across the country do at least one, if not more, fellowships. For me, I am doing a surgical pathology fellowship next year in Boston at Brigham and Women's Hospital, Harvard Medical School. So Brigham and Women's Hospital is a large hospital in Boston, and it's associated with the Dana-Farber Cancer Center. So Brigham and Women's Hospital has a very large pathology department, and they do all of the pathologic interpretation for patients that are coming to the Dana-Farber Cancer Center for diagnosis or for treatment, which means it's a large referral center. So they get lots of very exotic and difficult pathologic cases, and they have a lot of experts in different areas of pathology that work at that hospital. So my hope is that by doing a fellowship there, I'll get exposed to kind of some of the rarer entities in a high volume practice, and that will let me, you know, refine my skills even more. My post-fellowship plans are hopefully to get a job in the Cincinnati area. I prefer to work in academic medicine. I really like the educational environment. I like teaching a lot, so I like having the residents and medical students around because I like teaching them, and seeing them learn is something that's really been rewarding to me as a senior resident. You know, now that I get to mentor kind of the junior residents and some of the medical students, including yourself when you rotated through our department. I spent a little bit of time sitting at the microscope with you and some of your medical student colleagues. So that's been something that's been really rewarding for me. But hopefully we'll get back to the Cincinnati area, and I plan to work as a surgical pathologist, where I'll be spending most of my time signing out surgical pathology cases, looking at a lot of microscope slides, and then hopefully also doing a little bit of research as well.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that you'll be coming back to Cincinnati to teach some future medical students, because I, for one, can sure say that I've enjoyed my time with you and learned a lot from our sessions together. So that's very good to hear. Sorry for you, recent UConn med students who will sadly miss out on the teachings of Dr. Gilday if you do the pathology elective, which I recommend. But believe me, there are fine other people in that department right now. But Dr. Gilday, I do hope that you find your zebras and even maybe unicorns during your fellowship at Harvard. Now, this is just a quick question for you. What's the biggest zebra or even unicorn that you've seen so far in pathology?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I mean, I think it's interesting how you remember certain cases very well, or, you know, certain patients very well. I don't know if you've had the experience in medical school yet of meeting a particular patient either in clinic or in the hospital that you might have followed, and just for some reason they really stick in your mind. So I did have one case. It was a large pelvic mass in a female, and they had done some imaging on this young lady, and the radiologist thought that this mass was arising from the adnexa. So they're thinking maybe this is some type of ovarian tumor. Ovarian tumors are fairly common, but then I remember the gynecologic oncologist went to do the surgery, and when she opened up the patient's belly and got in there, she realized this mass was actually not coming from the adnexa. It was actually arising from the abdominal wall. When we got the slides, we looked at it and we said, wow, this is definitely a malignancy. No one really knew what it was when we first saw it. And, you know, our pathologists are pretty good. So when no one's quite sure of what something is, you know, it's probably something rare because they've seen all the common stuff a bunch of times. And so I have an interest in sarcomas, which are rare tumors that come from mesenchymal tissues, as opposed to the more common carcinomas, which come from epithelial tissues. So everyone's familiar with, you know, your run-of-the-mill breast cancer, prostate cancer, lung cancer. Those are all carcinomas. We see dozens of those. The sarcomas are much more rare. So I had been doing some reading kind of out of my own interest, and I had read about this rare tumor called follicular dendritic cell sarcoma. I saw this case and I suggested to the attending, I was like, this could be follicular dendritic cell sarcoma. And of course they were like, nah, probably not. I don't know if we've ever diagnosed one of those in this department. And so, you know, it ended up the case, to make a long story short, there was a lot of workup was done. No one was really confident in telling what this tumor was. It ended up being sent for expert consultation to Brigham and Women's Hospital, which is where I'm going for my fellowship. Their sarcoma expert deemed it to be a follicular dendritic cell sarcoma. So I was actually correct. And that's a very rare tumor. You know, I looked through the archives in our department. That's the only case of that particular tumor that we've ever had diagnosed here at UC, at least in the last 20 years. That's a zebra that I've seen once, and I'm ready for it again if it comes across my microscope.
Dr. Steve Gilday, everyone, sticking it to the skeptical surgeons of the world. So, Dr. Gilbey, thank you so much for your time. Now, do you have any closing remarks, advice for medical students who might be interested in pathology? What can they do?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the most basic advice would be just keep an open mind. I mean, pathology, it has a lot of stereotypes, some of which are true, some of which are not. But, you know, if you think you might be interested, reach out to some of the pathologists here. Try to do some shadowing if you can early on in your medical years. Definitely try to do the rotation during your M3 year. It's only 2 weeks. You'll get a little exposure to some of the different areas of pathology. And if you like that, you can come back as an M4 and do some longer, more involved rotations. I would advocate doing that even for people that know they're not going to go into pathology, because every medical doctor needs to understand how the pathologists work and how pathology works. It's especially important if you're going to be a proceduralist who's going to be submitting specimens to pathology. So really any type of surgeon, anyone that's doing endoscopy, like a GI endoscopist, just understanding what's in that black box. Both my wife and I are from Cincinnati. We have deep roots and family here. Sorry.
You're fine. This will not be in the podcast. What is that sound?
Sorry, that's the I'm still in the.
Oh.
They're just announcing that visiting hours are over in the hospital. I didn't anticipate that.
That's okay. We can let it play out. I guess I can't tell them to silence.
Yeah.
All right.
That may happen again here in like 5 or 10 minutes. I don't know.